Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned, and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict, and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Yet you desired faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners will turn back to you. Deliver from me blood guilt, O God, you who are my God, my Saviour, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. Open my lips, Lord, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. You, God, will not despise. May it please you to prosper Zion, to build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in the sacrifices of the righteous, in burnt offerings offered whole. Then bulls will be offered on your altar.
Brilliant. Thank you so much. And it's great having the young people leading the service this morning. Great sound of the music and worship and everything. And look forward to picnicking with them and with you afterwards. It's so good to be here. I was last here 3 months ago. We had a Haysmere Day, Haysmere Easter event here. And it was great to be able to use the facilities here and meet with a group of about 40 young people. And I have the privilege, as you've heard, of heading up this ministry with the Haysmere Youth Camps, and I'll refer to that at various points. We've had a long history, a long connection with the Good Shepherd Mission, and it was lovely coming in this morning and seeing various familiar faces of different generations who've been to Limpsfield or Mayfield or Haysmere or other places. And we've also shared as a church and Haysmere in a real partnership in the gospel, the good news of Jesus. This year marks the 60th anniversary of the Limpsfield Haysmere camps. And if any of you have been to the camps in the past, do have a word with me afterwards, because we've got a 60th anniversary event in Hammersmith on September 17th, to which all leaders, cooks, members who've been in the past can come. And we can celebrate God's faithfulness and his work in so many lives over those 60 years. Many people have come to know Jesus through those camps, myself included, and so there's much to be thankful for. And so Psalm 51 might seem a slightly strange choice of reading. Many of you will know the backstory to this particular psalm. So it's traditionally associated with King David. And it's a psalm of penitence, and King David has screwed up big time. It starts with him casting eyes on a beautiful woman bathing on a rooftop across from his palace. His eyes are coming out of his head as he looks, and it leads him into a place of adultery, and then to murder, to collusion, and to general disaster. And the prophet Nathan comes and confronts him with his sin, and he stands face to face with his own failings. And the psalm, which is believed to be written by David, is often used during the Lenten season of the church's year as we recognize our own frailties and our own need of God's forgiveness. But this morning, actually, I want us to focus on the middle section of the psalm, and especially on one verse. It's going to be on the screen just behind me. It's verse 12. Which reads, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me." And this is a verse that I've been chewing over for a number of weeks now. I was, as part of my role, I travel around the country and keep up with some of our Haysmere leaders around the country, as well as speaking at churches. And I was up in the Midlands and met up with seven or eight leaders. And some of those leaders were on really good form. They were testifying to ways in which God had been at work in their lives. They were looking for opportunities to serve. They were clearly in a good place spiritually. And you could say they were experiencing the joy of God's salvation. But there were one or two I met for whom that just wasn't the case at this particular point in time for various reasons. They'd lost that real spark of faith and real sense of God's presence deep down in their inner being. And so my prayer for them was, restore to them the joy of your salvation, Lord. And then I started mulling over my own faith journey and recognizing some of the times when I've been full of joy and truly known that joy of God's salvation, but also other times when things have felt a bit flat, and maybe I've lost focus. Now, I'm not for one moment suggesting we should all be wandering around with a big cheesy grin on our faces, or that we should always feel A1. But surely God's saving work in our lives should bring joy, that deep inner happiness rooted in the security of God. Rooted in the security of God, whether our football team is winning or not. It's striking, isn't it, as we read Scripture, that David is described as a man after God's own heart. That description jars a little when you think about the circumstances he got himself in and the mistakes he made. Elsewhere in Psalm 77, we're told that David shepherded the people with integrity of heart. I'm not sure that sleeping with another man's wife and then putting that man in the front line of battle to face certain death, to cover up an unwanted pregnancy, displays much integrity. And yet we see in this psalm, in Psalm 51, the attitudes and the responses that justify such descriptions. And we recognize and we identify the fact that none of us are perfect, that our actions often hurt others and are offensive to God. We all make mistakes at various levels, but there's something about how we respond to those mistakes that matters and marks us out as human beings. David is embarrassed by his actions. In fact, he's ashamed. He writes, I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. And he knows that he can't put things right. He can't drag himself up from the pit of despair. But he humbles himself before God and asks for God's help. And there's such a strong appeal in the middle section of this psalm for God to act. He cries out, cleanse me, wash me, create in me a pure heart, restore to me the joy of your salvation, deliver me. And the emphasis is all very much on God's work, not his own efforts. Not once does he give the impression that he just has to try a little bit harder to get things right. He's totally dependent on God, and God is the only one who can bring the forgiveness, the healing, and the joy that he so seeks. So let's think about this phrase a little bit more. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Firstly, we have to acknowledge that there are differences in the way David understood the term salvation to how we might understand it and see it today because of the eras in which we're living in. For David, salvation spoke of rescue in the context of his people being saved from slavery. Salvation represented victory over his enemies. Salvation was about being part of God's chosen people. It was about him being called out as king. There was so much in his life and the life of his people which reminded him of God's sovereignty and power. For us, as we hear the word salvation, we're more likely to think of the rescue enabled by the cross, Jesus dying and rising for our sake, and our response to that incredibly good news. At Hazelmere, we unashamedly preach the gospel of Jesus. We long for young people to recognize their need of him, to respond to his call to follow. As we read in both Acts and Romans, those who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And it's a great joy to see young people responding to that call year in, year out, including many from this church. But whatever our understanding and experience of God's salvation, we can find ourselves in a place where we lose something of that joy. Our love for God, our love for Jesus, our love for God's word can be quashed. And that can come through a variety of means. So for David, it came through sin, through rebellion, going his own way. He gave in to sexual temptation. It could just as easily have been about giving in to greed or a lust for power or just an inflated sense of his own self-importance. We can also lose that joy just because of life. We can go through tough times. Most of us will go through periods when we feel weighed down. I've experienced that recently. Sadly, my dad passed away very suddenly last summer. My mum's waiting for an operation at the moment. We had to sell the family home to ensure that she was somewhere safe and properly looked after. Those sorts of things and experiences can undermine our joy. If it's not about big life situations and traumas, it might just be a sense of being stuck on a treadmill, the demands of long days in the workplace, the demands of caring for an elderly relative, an endless stream of exams and assignments, a struggle to make ends meet. These things can drain us and deflate any sense of joy at God's saving work. Just think of the image for a moment of a camping mat, not one of those sort of wafer-thin roll-up things, but an inflatable one, luxury edition, a camping mat. When it's fully inflated, it's pretty comfortable to sleep on. It makes camping a little bit more bearable. But the more it's sat on or laid on, the more it leaks and the more it deflates. And that can be true in the daily grind of life. Trying to inflate it purely with our own breath is nigh on impossible. But with one of those inflator things, it's pretty straightforward. And the Holy Spirit is our inflator in that sense. The Holy Spirit is the one who restores joy. Another thing that quenches our joy is the state of the world. We see horrific scenes from Ukraine. We reflect on the cost of living crisis, the way it may be affecting us or those dear to us. We see the behavior of some of our politicians. We reflect on inequality in the world. These things can affect our view of life and can affect our sense of God's presence and our experience of his joy. And so we cry out to God, like David, restore to me the joy of your salvation. We honestly confront our present reality and we bring that to him, seeking his cleansing, restoration, and renewal. And then we can know that you'll never walk alone. And God acts. And we experience that action of God in a variety of ways. As we bring our prayers direct to him, our cries for help, our submission to his ways, we can experience that renewal of that inner peace and security. That can happen as we worship together in community, as we do so this morning. Missing joy can be unearthed. Again, that's often our experience at Hazelmere, as leaders and young people put aside for a few days the particular challenges of daily life and offer themselves before God in worship. There's something special, there's something significant, isn't there, about sharing together. We neglect that at our peril. And then the joy of God's salvation can be experienced as we engage with his word, as we dwell in his word, gaining fresh insight and encouragement. Maybe a new understanding of an aspect of God's character, or insight into the true significance of Christ's work on the cross. It can be experienced as we unburden ourselves to trusted mentors and friends, people who come alongside us and help us to see things from a fresh perspective. Or perhaps as a fellow believer challenges us over a particular behavior or attitude. Remember, David needed the prophet Nathan to help him see the mess and the implications of the mess he'd got himself into and submit afresh to God. In each of these different ways, the Spirit breaks through and restores and renews. But this restoration is not just so that we can feel better. Verse 13, following on from verse 12, David explains, "Then I will teach transgressors your way, so that sinners will turn back to you." Because it's out of God's restoring work in our lives that mission and service flows. What that looks like is different for every single one of us, because we're different personalities and God is at work in different ways in our lives. But those things are an essential outworking of our faith. God's restoring and renewing work in us has the potential to bless humanity, to bring change, to bring hope, to build his kingdom. It certainly did with David, as he humbled himself before God, recognizing his failings and seeking that renewal of the joy of God's salvation. And so as we reflect on this during the rest of our service, perhaps two possible questions. Maybe you're currently feeling, I'm experiencing the joy of God's salvation. I feel in a good place deep down. I know whose I am, how I am. The question to you would be, well, how might that be expressed in mission and service during this week ahead, in our workplace, in our family, wherever God has put us, in our school? Alternatively, if that joy seems somewhat distant, how can you take steps this morning, perhaps, or this week, to seek God afresh, that he might bring that restoration and that healing and the joy of his salvation?